Excuse me. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 1. Now, we're going to be starting off there. We'll be reading other scriptures too. God willing, of course, we finished up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 last week, finished the book of 1 Thessalonians. Been trying to go through books of the Bible, and today we're going to take a little bit of a break from that for the next couple of days, next couple of Sundays, and just preach on some different things I believe will be a help to us. And today we're going to be preaching on some things for God's people and New Testament churches to do self-checkups about. And the fact of the matter is, we all know that sometimes we need to go to the doctor, right? We need to do some checking up. If our hormones are out of balance, maybe our chemicals are out of balance, maybe we need to get on some medicine. Nothing wrong with that, right? Sometimes if our sugar's out of balance, what you got to do? We're supposed to quit eating sugar so much. But a lot of times what we'll do is we'll get on some medicine. That'll help with that. Well, sometimes we as God's people, we got to be reminded of some things. And we got to look at some things in God's Word about having these self-checkups and what we're to do. Now, God willing, this morning, we're going to look at some of these. First of all, we're going to look at personal things in our lives. Number two, the message we're to give others. Three, the ditches to avoid. And then last, the ministry of the local New Testament church. Now, I want you to look with me, please, in the book of Psalm 1. We're going to start in verse 1. And the Bible says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, I ask that you'd help us to honor you in all that we do. I pray that you would help us to look at your word and to submit to the authority of God's word. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for all you do for us. God, I pray if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, I pray that you'd save them before it's eternally too late. Lord, if there be one here this morning, they're saved, but Lord, they're backslid. They're not where they ought to be. God, I pray that you draw them back into right fellowship with you. Help us as a church to love you more and ourselves less. And help us to put you first in all we do. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here in the book of Psalm 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man." That's happy is the man. "Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his joy is in the law of the Lord," that is in the word of God. And notice this, "and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Now, as we look at the first point today, let us consider what it talks about personal. What does this mean, personal? Making it personal in our service and our relationship to God. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. How easy is it for us to look at other people and to see what they are lacking in their service or relationship to God? How often it is that we can look at whether it be family members, whether it be friends, whether it be other churches, or even someone else within the body. And how easy it is to look and think to ourselves, well, you know what, that person isn't doing what they should be doing. Well, let me say this, folks. For every finger that points at someone else, I've got one, two, three, and three that point back at me. We need to make sure that what we are doing is personal. We need to do self-checkups within ourselves. Here's some of the things that we can ask about. Number one, are we spending time in God's Word? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every day, I spend time on Facebook. Just being honest. Most of the time, I will spend at least a little bit of time on Instagram. But that pales, but with me spending time in God's Word, unfortunately, I can't say I spend as much time in that. And the thing is, we say to ourselves, well, you know what? I just don't have time. Really? How many of us have Bibles on our phones? Every one of us do, right? So instead of picking up Facebook or picking up a phone and getting on Facebook, we could be spending a little bit of time in God's Word. I'm blessed with my job at the radio station. I can do stuff like that, but unfortunately, I find myself wasting more time with dumb things that ain't going to matter to the hill of beans instead of getting God's Word. So here's the thing. Troy McGahan, could be doing much better about that himself. So understand, as I'm preaching this, I'm not sitting here saying to you, look at you, I'm preaching it to myself as well. How much time are we spending in God's Word? Number two, how much time are we spending in prayer? The Bible talks about pray without ceasing. We talked about that last week. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Be in a constant and continual attitude of prayer. It doesn't mean you've got to be falling prostrate upon the ground. Doesn't mean you've got to have your head bowed and your eyes closed. Because if you did, there'd be a whole lot of wrecks on the highway. Let's talk about being in a state of prayer. A mindfulness of prayer. Listen, whenever we pray, what we're doing is, you know, God's Word speaks to us. Well, we're speaking to God as we're in prayer, crying out to Him with our concerns, with our hurts, with our joy. There ought to be that time in which we pray to God. Now, as we read here in Psalm 1, here's something else. Are we surrounding ourselves with those who give godly and wise counsel? Who we are and who we spend time with say a whole lot about us. My grandma had a saying that I despised because it was true. What she would say is, whenever I go to a certain friend's house that lived around her, and this boy had trouble, but tried not to give up on him. She would say to me, Troy, remember this, birds of a feather flock together. And oh, that used to make me so mad. Let me say this, folks. Who you spend the most time with says a whole lot about you. Now, a lot of times we automatically want to look at our kids and say, yeah, that's right. But it's more than just the kids. Adults, we can be influenced as well. If you run with the rough crowd, then you're going to start acting like the rough crowd. If you run with the drunk, you're going to be a drunk. You run with a whoremonger, you're going to end up being a whoremonger, generally speaking. So we as God's people have a responsibility to make sure that we do what? We surround ourselves with wise and godly people. Now, does that say that we never talk to anyone that don't know the Lord? That's foolish. Of course we don't. Of course we talk to people that don't know the Lord. Right? You're going to work with people that don't know the Lord. You're going to have some acquaintances. But let me tell you something, folks. Whenever, as a child of God especially, you surround yourself with that, then let me tell you, you're not going to bring them up. But generally speaking, they're going to bring you down. Let me also say this too, folks. Whenever it comes to those who are lost, it's going to do the same thing for you. It's going to bring you down. It's going to get your mind off godly things and off the Lord. So it does matter who you surround yourself with. We just read this in Psalm 1. And of course, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can't do it. It's the reason it's important to marry someone that is saved and loves you and loves the Lord. We also know in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it talks about not being unequally yoked. But here's the thing. As God's people, we have a responsibility to do that which honors God. And to surround ourselves with wickedness, to surround ourselves with the ungodly and those who don't give wise counsel is to be what? Disobedient to God. The Bible says what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So I want to ask you this question in a personal, real way. Don't ask if someone else is doing this, but ask yourself this as a child of God. Am I walking with the Lord? Can my testimony actually say that I am walking with God? Number two, the message. What is the message that we are to give others? Well, there's a lot of people that have an idea and that say things like, and it's a cool catchphrase, okay? We need to speak life into people. And I get what they're saying. And I want you to understand, I do believe that we ought to be positive as we can. We shouldn't be trying to tear down people. But let me tell you the most positive, life-giving message you can give anyone. That they are sinners and that they need Jesus. Because that is going to give people the ultimate life. It is going to be what makes the ultimate difference in people's life. We don't need to go around telling people, you're okay, I'm okay. We don't need to tell them that this is their best life now. What we need to be telling people is that they need Christ. That is the message that not only Central Baptist Church needs to be giving, but it is also the message that we here as Christians need to be giving others as well. Won't you look with me, please, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There needs to be the preaching that Christ is worthy. That He is the only one who can do the saving of our soul. This is the message that we are to preach to a lost and dying world. Luke 13:3, Jesus Himself said, what? Repent ye. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There needs to be the message of repentance. The message of turning from sin, from turning from self, and turning to Christ and Him alone. Then, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, is that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Himself. We need to be telling people that Jesus is the only way. We need to be preaching that Christ and His finished work is all that this world needs. While our words are important, and again, folks, we need to speak the ultimate life-giving words, and that is the gospel. Remember, no person will be saved without the gospel of Christ being spoken or given that they adhere. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now third, one of the things we also need to remember in these self-checks, so to speak, for churches and people, is that we got to be careful to avoid certain ditches. Whenever I started driving, my dad gave me this simple piece of advice. Keep it between the ditches. It's pretty simple, ain't it? You keep it between the ditches, guess what? You got to avoid the cars too, but you're not going to get hung up. Sometimes churches and people do that as well. We tend, as God's people sometimes, because something's new, to automatically run from it, right? Now, I want you to listen to me. Brother Troy's not saying let's bring drums up on the stage. I can imagine some people already thinking that. That's not it. But here's the thing. I can remember 20, 25 years ago, would that be about right? Whenever some of the controversy about new music and stuff like that came about. Man, I'm 48 and everything just kind of blends together now. But you know, I can remember first time I heard a song. And again, it wasn't in church. It was on the radio. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I really like that. That's good. Matter of fact, it was a song I can only imagine. That tells you how long it's been. It ain't been that long since I listened to this. And I was listening to the song, to the words, and it's pretty good. And then someone said to me one day, said, well, Brother Troy, won't we sing that at church? Well, we can't do that. Well, why not? Well, you know, and let me say this, folks. There's some songs that I wouldn't want to sing in church. That's fine in my car. But let me say this, too. How many of y'all ever heard the song In Christ Alone? Anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with that song, Brother Ethan? Nothing's wrong with it, is it? Words are real good. What about something like, I can't even think of some of the others now. But here's the thing. I've talked to people about preachers. Say, what's wrong with this song? Well, it's new. Okay. So is your suit, but you wear that. See, folks, what I want you to get and understand is this. Let's be careful about getting in a ditch. And I was just using music as an example. Did you know? How many of y'all know who Benjamin Keach is? Have you studied him at Southern? Okay. Benjamin Keach was an old Baptist back in the 1600s. Benjamin Keach wrote 500 hymns. Three of them he published in a hymnal, one of the first hymnals, and I think it was called Spiritual Melody. I had this written down. What he wrote was straight Bible and theological masterpieces. Some of the names of the songs is God Our Refuge. Another song, Scriptures of Divine Authority. Not real creative on the titles, but you get the point. They're based on Bible. Did you know that there were people that fought him? Not literal fight, physically, but fought against him because he wanted to sing something out of a hymnal instead of a psalter or one of the Psalms. Now, here's the other thing. There was some that fought singing hymns, period, or singing anything, period. There's nothing wrong with singing. There's nothing wrong with singing good songs, biblical songs. That's what it gets back to. Is it biblical? Is it right? Does it honor and glorify God? Listen, I'm not saying let's have a rock and roll concert. But I am singing, if it's a song and it's biblical and it's theological and it's right, there's nothing wrong with those songs. And that's just an example of getting in the ditch. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'll use a political illustration here. I used to be so conservative that I made Rush Limbaugh look like a flaming liberal. And that's the truth. And I'm still conservative. But let me tell you why I'm more worried about being now. I'm more worried about being biblical, even in my politics. Let me say this, I hate abortion. I despise abortion. I can't stand it. It makes me ill thinking about it. But let me say this. If there's a person that comes through these doors and they had an abortion, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my arms around them, and I'm going to hug their neck, and I'm going to tell them I love them, and I'm going to talk to them about the love of Jesus. That's what's missing. Listen, I believe that homosexuality is unbiblical. I don't care who it is. It's wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. If a homosexual walks through these doors of church, I'm not going to say, get the scooting. I'm not doing it. I will love them. I will give them the gospel. I'll do what I can to be gracious and loving and show the love of Christ to them. But let me also say this too. There are certain things that they're not just going to come in and start doing either. Because you can't do that either. See, there's got to be a balance. Can't be a ditch to the left and a ditch to the right. You've got to be right there. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. That's what Jesus said, right? So here's the thing, folks. Let's not be in a ditch. Let's not be far right or far left. Let's be biblical. That's the key, folks. Be biblical. Let's be biblical about what we do. Now, here's something else. Notice fourth, the ministry. The ministry. What do we mean about the ministry? Well, let's talk about our service to God. Central Baptist Church's service to God. And the priority and orderliness in the local body. First and foremost, we need to understand that whenever it comes to the local New Testament church, that this is a place that God, that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And we understand the Spirit's job, of course, is to draw attention to Christ. We get that, but we're just making it simple. God, okay? God is to be worshipped. God is to be honored. God is to be glorified. Secondly, that God's word is to be preached, is to be spoken in power and in truth. Why is that? Well, I want you to look with me, please, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy in chapter 3. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is inspired, and it is God's word that must be preached. But also understand this too. Chapter 4 in the same book, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort, or convince, excuse me, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, we have a responsibility to preach God's word because this is profitable. This is what's needed. Listen. We don't need clever little stories and anecdotes from preachers. Brother Troy doesn't need to get up here and tell you about the good old days. Brother Troy doesn't need to get up here and tell you how wonderful he is. Brother Troy is a wretched scumbag in his heart when it gets down to it. Except for the grace of God, I am nothing. And if it was about Troy McGahee, you all need to leave right now. But understand this, it's all about Christ. We need to preach the message that Jesus is what is needed. We need to preach the gospel of Christ, and it needs to be spoken often. Not only today, but this afternoon, and our families. It needs to be spoken to those that we come into contact with. It needs to be spoken Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day. Henry's wanting to sing. That's okay. But listen. We need to understand, and I'll say this again, and I got on it a while ago. As a church, we need to sing songs that are biblical in nature and bring glory to God. I'm going to tell you of a couple of songs that I loved growing up that's not biblical. How many of y'all ever heard the song, "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory"? I love it. I love the tune. I love everything about it except for this. There is not a new name written down in glory. There's not. My name as a child of God was written there from before the foundation of the world. And that's what it says in the Bible. As much as I love that song, if I could change one word, "there's a name written down in glory," it'd be fine. Tell you another song. Let's have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our troubles. Then He goes through and then says, and when you hear a little prayer wheel turning, you know what that's talking about? That's Hindu. There ain't no prayer wheel in heaven. That's some kind of pagan thing from Hinduism. Listen, If other people want to sing it, that's fine. Or if we could even change that, that'd be fine. I'm not going to get all worked up about it. But here's the thing, folks. If those songs could be sang for years, people didn't bat an eye. Then if there's a song that comes along that's biblical, and it could be sung in a congregation fashion for the honor and glory of God, then why wouldn't we do it? And brother, I'm not picking on you. You do a good job, okay? I'm not picking on you. But I want you to understand, folks, we as God's people, we're here to bring glory to God. We're not here to bring glory to Troy McGahan, Cecil Fayard, Eugene McWhorter, Clint Key, or Brother Lilly. I never knew Brother Lilly. But folks, it's about the Lord. So let's make sure, as we do these checkups, that we don't just check up everyone else. And I'm going to pick on you again for a second. My job isn't to look at Ethan and say, I believe Ethan could do a better job at his work site as a witness. I don't know what he does, but I tell you what, I'm sure he does a good job. But here's the thing. What I need to be concerned about is Troy McGahan being a good witness at his job or at Walmart or wherever. Let's all stand. Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all, we invite you to come.